Hey everyone, welcome back. Ready for another deep dive?
Absolutely. Always ready, been into it.
Awesome. So today we're going deep into the world of employee scheduling, but with a twist. We're focusing on California and how automation is changing the game.
Yeah, California's always been kind of a trendsetter, right? Especially when it comes to like workers' rights and stuff.
Exactly. And we've got some fascinating source material to dig into today. It's a piece called Pasted Text, How Automation is Changing Employee Scheduling in California. Catchy, right?
Definitely grabs your attention. So are we talking like algorithms setting our schedules now?
That's exactly what we're talking about. And it's raising some really big questions about the future of work. So, you know, California, it's like the Wild West of, well, not really Wild West, but you know what I mean. They're always pushing the boundaries with new laws and regulations.
Right, right. Like that Fair Work Week law they passed a few years back.
Oh, yeah. The one that requires certain businesses to like give their employees more predictable schedules.
That's the one. It's all about giving workers more stability and control over their hours, which, you know, on the surface sounds great, but you have to wonder how that plays out when you throw automation into the mix.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's almost like California has become this like testing ground for how automation and workers' rights can, I don't know, coexist maybe.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to put it, a testing ground. Because, you know, on the one hand, you have this potential for automation to make scheduling more efficient, flexible, all that good stuff. But then there's, you know, the flip side.
The potential downsides.
Exactly. And those are some pretty serious concerns, you know. Like, we can't just ignore the possibility of bias creeping into these algorithms.
Bias, huh? Like, what kind of bias are we talking about?
Well, the article mentions a few different types. Like, there's this thing called proximity bias, where some algorithms prioritize employees who live closer to the workplace. Sounds innocent enough, right?
Yeah, sure. I mean, less commute time, I guess.
But here's the thing. It can actually disadvantage lower income workers who often can't afford to live near those like more affluent shopping areas where a lot of these businesses are. So they end up getting a fewer shifts, less opportunity to earn. It's like, are we really leveling the playing field, or are we just, you know, baking existing inequalities into the system?
Wow. Yeah, that's a really good point. I haven't thought about it like that. It's kind of scary, actually. Like, you think technology is going to be all neutral and objective, but...
But it's not, because at the end of the day, it's humans who are designing these algorithms, and humans have biases, whether they're aware of them or not.
Right, right. It's like that old saying, garbage in, garbage out. If the data you're feeding the algorithm is already biased, then the output is going to be biased, too.
Exactly. And, you know, it's not just about fairness, either. There's also the whole issue of worker well-being. The article, it had this one example. It was about a single mom, right? And she was, like, really struggling because the automated system kept scheduling her for closing shifts.
Oh, right. Even though she had specifically requested daytime hours so she could take care of her kids.
Exactly. And that's the kind of thing that can really throw a wrench in people's lives. You know, trying to juggle work and family, and all of a sudden your schedule's all over the place because an algorithm doesn't understand your individual circumstances.
Like, the human element is just completely missing, you know?
Yeah, it can feel really dehumanizing. And that's something we have to be really careful about as we move forward with all this automation stuff.
So stepping back for a second, like, what do you think this whole California experiment with automation and scheduling tells us about the future of work, you know, on a larger scale? Do you think this is something we're going to see more of?
I think it's definitely a sign of things to come. I mean, think about it. California often sets the trends that spread across the rest of the country. So if they're grappling with these issues now, it's pretty likely that the rest of us will be dealing with them soon enough.
Yeah, you're probably right. It's a lot to wrap your head around, though. It's like this double-edged sword, right?
For sure.
On one hand, you have the potential for greater efficiency, flexibility, maybe even better pay for some workers. But on the other hand, you have these really legitimate concerns about fairness, bias, the impact on people's lives.
I think the key takeaway here, maybe this is getting a bit philosophical, but it's not about being pro-technology or anti-technology. It's about making sure that technology serves us, not the other way around. We need to be the ones in control, setting the boundaries, making sure it's being used ethically and responsibly.
Yeah, I think that's a great point to end on. So to all of our listeners out there, we want to leave you with this. What do you think that ideal balance looks like? How can we ensure that automation is used to benefit both workers and employers, without sacrificing fairness and human well-being? It's a complex issue, but it's one that we all need to be thinking about as we enter this new era of work. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. It was great to, you know, really get into the nitty-gritty with you all today.
It was a good one. Really makes you think.
Until next time.